Hi guys, welcome to another episode of The Takeoff. I hope you're keeping well. I'm still such a rookie in getting this podcast going again that I've just recorded another 30-minute episode and it didn't record. So yeah, here we are. We're doing it again. My enthusiasm for this one might be a little bit down, but hope you're all keeping well. I've got 10 points to talk to you about today on why construction companies can't retain talent. So I hope that you get this one. I hope this one actually comes through to you okay. But 10 points, it should be around 20 minutes or so. And it's just my interpretation of the market. It's what I'm hearing from candidates. It's what I'm hearing from clients. You know, it's why people are moving on to different businesses. And it's basically just to give business owners something to think about. You know, it's to give project directors, construction managers, whatever it might be, just some ideas on how, you know, the business can help itself, you know, retain people in the business and keep your best people working, satisfied, happy, and moving things forward. You need good people to create growth, to create opportunities, to deliver projects. And so it's imperative that you get this right. So the number one main reason that people are, you know, construction companies are losing people is because the market is hot. It's no secret at all. But one of the things that I'm noticing more particularly is that junior to intermediate level candidates know that they can cash in on this boom. So they really see this as an opportunity to, you know, take a more attractive job title, which for them obviously is beneficial to their career, or to get more money. A lot of the time, you know, it's about, you know, if you're a project manager, a CA, a QS, an estimator, you know, you can see what's on offer, you know, across the road in a different firm under different brands, you know, working on the same project. You might get a better job title. It could be a senior, it could be, you know, an intermediate, or it could be a better salary. But they see the opportunities there, and unfortunately, you know, it's creating difficulties and it's creating problems for businesses. You know, you don't want to offer everything to people all up front. You know, you want the right motivations to be there within your team members. You know, you don't want to just go here, take everything, take the reins of the business, take the keys. But you've got to balance it out. But one thing that we're definitely noticing is that junior to intermediate level candidates are making moves right now. Of course, when we're representing, we're looking for the people with longevity. We're looking for the people with, you're moving for the right reasons and not for those reasons. But by and large, that's the industry that we're in. And your people are moving for a better title or better salary. Number two, senior level talent are being offered the salary handcuffs. You know, so if you're a senior PM, project director, estimate manager, commercial manager, a lot of the time companies are offering them more than you know, the market value, which in turn is creating a different market value and increasing salaries across the board. The reason for that is because, you know, it's so hard to bring, you know, equal level talent in the business. If someone leaves, it's nearly impossible to bring better talent in if someone leaves. And therefore, you know, companies are saying, well, if we were to lose this person, it's going to take 3-6 months to hire someone into the business. We're going to have 3-6 months of that person not interacting with the client, or that person not interacting with their team. It looks bad for business, it looks bad for brand, and therefore we may as well offer them an extra 30, 40, 50K. You know, I have heard CAs, you know, one CA going from 80K to 180K within this market. So, you know, it's insane what's happening. But those salary handcuffs are there, you know, to keep people in place, but that's driving up the market, and you know, they're trying to scur off their competition by you know, offering stupid money, as they say. But that in turn creates expectations across the board. You know, if you're a senior person in a business, you're looking at and going, well, I know what such and such is getting paid elsewhere, and therefore my expectation is close to that, if not matching that. And therefore, again, it creates expectation. Expectation means that people become unhappy. Unhappy people leave. And so again, it's a difficult one, but you know, you've got to look at what you can do as a business owner to incentivize your people to stay in that respect. Number three, there are currently over 11,000 jobs advertised on Seek in construction, architecture, and engineering. My opinion is probably it could be 4 to 5 times that the industry. In reality, it could be 10 times that. You know, every firm that I'm talking to right now is looking for someone in some capacity, and they're not. A lot of those businesses aren't even advertising on Seek. So, you know, what is the strategy that the federal government is implementing in order to get these 11 to 50,000 people into the country doing the work? You know, it's pathetic, the immigration status for, you know, how long it's basically taken for qualified people in order to get accepted into Australia and into New Zealand. It's abysmal. You know, I've had someone recently moving from one sponsor to another sponsor. So that's literally one company taking on their sponsor. So they're not even having to go through a whole, you know, ream of paperwork or anything like that. It's just it's a labor market test in which takes 30 days and proving that the people aren't available. And it's taken up to 6 months. And so that individual has just decided to pack it in, not move to the new company. So all of a sudden the new company spent $5,000 or whatever. They have been planning this person coming in for 6 months that hasn't even done so. The candidate in this respect has wasted 6 months of their life. You know, they've been planning, they've been moving their stuff up from one state to another state. It's been hideous. And it's because the federal government has just got so much red tape, so much bureaucracy, you know, so many people pushing the blame onto someone else. Not enough being done, not enough being actioned. It shouldn't take more than 30 days from someone applying for a visa in order to get a visa. You shouldn't have to have a job offer to get a visa. It's my opinion. If you're qualified and you can do the job, you should get, you know, and you don't have criminal record or you don't have, you know, bad character, you should automatically be granted at least an interim visa that, you know, maybe 2 years or something like that. That's like, why is that not being done? It's just ridiculous. Number four, candidates are impatient. So there's itchy feet syndrome across the entire construction industry right now. If the job isn't perfect, they're moving on. If the onboarding isn't perfect, they're moving on. If they're doing two people's jobs, they're moving on. It's just the reality of it right now. They know that they can get better elsewhere, or they think that they can get better elsewhere, even if they don't know, but they think they can. The perspective of, you know, it is so important in this case. If they think there's better options, they'll move. Period. That's just it. That's just the reality. So, you know, you've got to think about the strategy in place from, you know, right from hiring someone right through to them actually being a success in the company. What are the footprints that you actually need to take in order for them to be a success? Number five, projects are considerably under-resourced, and one person is often doing two or three people's jobs. Therefore, they're working harder, they're doing more hours, they're seeing less of their family, they're getting impatient, they're getting frustrated, and again, they're getting itchy feet. So, you know, you might think, oh, it's easy for you to say, Mick, you know, you're in recruitment, you know, it's not like you're in construction, blah, blah, blah. But the reality of it is that every firm is under-resourced right now, or a lot of firms are. How can you tackle that? How can you minimize that risk of being under-resourced? It's a huge risk of being under-resourced, because if construction companies start to look at projects and go, well, we won't be able to deliver that project because we haven't got the right talent, and firms begin, you know, easing off on tenders and easing off on submissions, then that in turn, you know, means that not a lot's getting built, you know, less requirement for people, you know, less salaries in the market, less people spend money in the economy, you know, property prices probably begin to reduce, interest rates are going up, people can't afford it. So again, issues there. You know, you've got to look at it in that respect as well. Yes, you're under resourced, but can you create a strategy where you're not having to win everything, but you can, there's a happy medium in between. I think that's important. And I think that if you are under-resourced and there are ways of getting through that, whether that's offering bonuses to the people doing those, you know, two or three jobs, being, you know, communicating with them well, you know, getting them involved in the hiring, all of those things can be done better. But communication is a big part of it. And not just accepting that you're under-resourced, accepting, you know, expecting them just to do two people's jobs. Expectation kills people, and perspective kills people. So yeah, both of those things are extremely important. Number six is, you know, again, on the same train of thought, is that construction companies are really, really bad at planning. They always look at hiring when they need, you know, when they desperately need someone, not when they think they're going to need someone. You know, firms are going, well, do we hire people in now and then not have the projects for them, or hire them when we actually have the projects for them? My opinion, you're wasting time even thinking about that. Hire the best people regardless of when you have the projects, because you will get the projects if you have the best people, and you will deliver the projects on time if you have the best people. So hiring the best people is should be your number one business objective. There are some businesses that I'm working with right now that have, you know, what they call a bench. So they have, every hiring manager in the business has a bench where they can hire, you know, two people who to sit on the bench. And my thinking is, if you communicate that well during the interview process to a potential, you know, bench employee, I think that actually there's a good strategy, and that's an attractive trait for someone, because they know that they're not being hired, you know, to thrown into a project that's, you know, 6 months in, that's already a bit of a shit show, but they know that they're being hired for something in 6 months' time or 3 months' time, where they're going to get involved in that ECI or that DNC stage. They're going to get involved in the procurement. They're getting involved in the letting of subbies. They're going to get involved in the in the early stages, and all of a sudden there's the continuity for the project. They're able to, you know, not rush to get subbies on board, getting the right ones on board. You know, all of those things are super, 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 super important, you know. So have that bench and take that as a, my opinion, it's no risk. It's more risk not having a bench. It's more risk desperately needing someone and then hiring someone who's subpar. You know, like if you're a construction manager and all of a sudden you need to hire, you know, two foremen, because, you know, you need something done in the next month or next few weeks. And what's the market like? You know, you're going to have to, you're either going to accept an average, whether you like it or not, you know. So if you can create a bench philosophy in your mindset and go, right, we're getting these two people on board, and you're able to use their background, their experience to win projects, and then you have them for the projects, that's what you should be doing. Think about planning. Think about the big picture. Think about the future, not now, not just now. Think about the what you could do, what you could achieve moving forward with the right people in place. So number seven is just an add-on to that. And construction companies are only working for the now. You know, they're not thinking 5 years in the future. They're not thinking 10 years in the future. If you are a business that, say, 10 years old, where was the company when the business was 5 years old? You know, how many people were in the business then? You know, if you're at a team of 40 now, was there 15 then? Was there 20 then? You know, what can you project there to be in 5 years' time? If you can project 50% growth, 100% growth, then you should be adding people into your business, you know, to meet that growth target, or, you know, or meet that demand. You know, very rarely does a company stay static. You know, if a business has stayed, you know, 10 people, you know, in 2010, and then there's 10 people in 2020, is that an attractive business to work for? Probably not really. You know, it's probably a good business. It could be good business to work for, good sort of lifestyle business to work for. But, you know, the up and coming, real hungry, motivated guys, is it a business they want to work for? I'm not too sure. Not too sure. So, you know, you can project that there's going to be growth. So if there's going to be growth, then you need to hire the best people. And if you need to hire the best people, you're never going to do that, you know, if it's a desperate requirement. You're only going to do that with the thought process. And that goes from everything from your branding, your social media strategy, right through to how you're, you know, advertising to people online, how you're advertising to people through social, you know, what content you're putting out there, what, you know, content you're putting into your job advertisements, right through to the interview process, right through your onboarding, right through to all of that stuff matters so much. Like, I mean, you could save yourself hundreds of thousands. I reckon you probably save yourself over a period of time millions in actually thinking about this and getting it right. So important. Yeah, so project, take yourself out of the business, stop thinking, you know, purely day to day, start thinking long term, start thinking for the future. You're going to grow. It's like property. Your property in 10 years time, the property that you own now is going to be worth 50 to 100% more. That's just the reality of it. It's just what property prices do. If you're a business, you're going to grow. So project the numbers and bring in the right people, and you'll find that business will run a lot more smoothly. Number eight, shocking onboarding in construction right now. It's really, really abysmal. You know, you're getting people in, you know, coming into the business, being, you know, promised the world and how good it's going to be. And then on the first day, they don't even speak to the hiring manager. You know, first week, maybe if they've spoken to them once or twice, you know, the hiring manager's actually been driving from one project to another, and they just touch in and it's like, g'day, mate. You know, but how shit is that? You know, like when you join a business, you have this like excitement and this energy, and then all of a sudden, you know, in your first week, your energy's real low, and then your perspective or your perspective changes, and you think, and you begin to think, what's next week going to be like? What's the week after going to be like? Is this actually going to be any better for me? You know, I should have stayed in my current business. Blah blah blah. Again, you know, all of that stuff creates bad culture, creates bad energy, grip. Bad karma. You know, like you've got to look at it as a whole. You've got to get someone who's looking after your people. You've got to get your onboarding right. You've got to be touching in with people. You've got to have your buddy system in place. All of these things make such a massive, massive, massive difference. Onboarding could save you hundreds and hundreds of thousands every year just by those first few weeks and few months of actually making sure that they're embedded into the business properly. That could save so much. Number nine is bad communication with talent. So there, I mean, it doesn't even need to be new talent, but there's bad communication just across the board. Like, can you imagine if you're a project manager and you've been, you know, brought in to deliver a $10 million fit out or new build or whatever, and there's no CA on the job because, you know, everybody's under-resourced. And, you know, you've just, there's just a get on with it type attitude. That get on with it type attitude is just going to kill your business. That's the reality of it again. You know, you might think, well, I'm paying you to do this, but yeah, you're paying them to be a PM, but you're not paying them to be a CA. So what can you do? Can you talk to them in the right way? Can you be open and honest and communicate? Can you get them involved in the hiring? Can you, you know, say, listen, I really appreciate what you're doing right now. You're doing a really good job. I know that you're doing two people's jobs right now, and we're really struggling to get CAs for whatever reason it might be. However, we know that you're working your ass off, and so we really appreciate that. And we're going to give you a bonus at the end of this project, and we're actually going to put it in writing because, you know, we want you to finish off this project. Because what happens is people don't get any communication from the hiring managers. People get a, you know, get on with it type attitude. Then they just leave, and all of a sudden you're desperately needing a PM for that job. And all of a sudden the client's pissed off, you know. But what happens is if you give them the bonus and you put that in writing, they're at least going to stick around until the end of the job or end of the project. And then from there, you know, you can begin planning things again. You can, there's a bit more of continuity. Your client isn't pissed off. You know, there's a chance of you winning more work off the back of that. You know, and I think that sometimes it just comes down to an ego thing. Sometimes it comes down to people are just too busy, you know. But if you can communicate and just be honest and be real with people, it just makes such a massive, massive difference. So communicate, nearly over communicate. That's super, super important. Number 10 is just not delivering on promises. If you make promises to a future employee, to someone coming into the business, stick with them. You know, and if you can't stick by those promises, at least communicate as the reasons why it hasn't happened. Maybe the person hasn't hit their KPIs, which is fair enough. Maybe two, maybe the business is, you know, having cash flow problems, you know, fair enough, but communicate with that. Don't say, listen, we're not, you know, we're, everything's fine. And then all of a sudden you're hearing everything's fine, but this isn't adding up. There must be issues. So you start with second guessing. Now you end up talking to the other PM on another job and he's starting to, you know, wonder what's going on. Or you start speaking to the pre-con team and they start to see things. All of a sudden people are whispering behind each other's backs and all of a sudden there's gossip going on around the office. That's no good for anybody. That's just creates bad culture, bad energy. Again, people wanting to leave. Deliver to your promises. Get rid of your ego. Start looking after your people. Think of the big picture. Think of the plan that you're putting in place, not just for today or tomorrow for the, or this one project. Think of the next 5 to 10 years. Think of how you can build a solid structure of great leaders within the company. Great leaders, you know, serve their people. Great leaders don't just demand their people to do things. You know, like you've got to think, how can I help this person to deliver that project? That's what a great leader does. It's not bossing people around and horsewhipping them and, you know, getting more hours out of them. That's those days are gone. Those days are over. So think about what you can do to make this person's job better and life easier. And all of a sudden that is contagious and that breeds good culture and that brings people together and collaboration and teamwork. All of that makes such a massive difference. Culture is the make or break of a business. And all of these things, like planning, like having, you know, an idea of what the future looks like, being communicative, being open and honest, you know, looking after people, embedding incentives, that all creates great culture. And culture is everything. You know, if you're going into a business every day and you're like, oh, God's sake, I've got to speak to him today, or God's sake, I'll speak to her today, like, that's the shit. And all of a sudden they move, they leave. A bad hire or not even a bad hire, a bad hiring manager is probably going to cost you $500,000 a year on people. It's the truth. The truth. If you lose one person, it probably costs between 50 and 100 grand. Why? Because one, your recruitment fees. Two, your the money that you lose by not having that person doing the job. Three, how long it's going to take someone to get trained in the processes and systems. Four, you know, your client's unhappy, you know, you're wasting time on all of these things when, you know, you could have just looked after that person and that, you know, you could have saved yourself a lot of money. And imagine that. Imagine you have 100 people in the business and you have 20% retention, you know, or, so you've got 20 people leaving every year. So that's 20 people that you've got to look to bring in just to stay still, just to complete be even. That's not even to grow. So like these things are hugely, hugely important. And I think it's an epidemic in construction, all of these things that, you know, bad planning, bad communication, bad onboarding, not delivering the promises, being kind of aggressive, being, you know, a bit, you know, being a gorilla banging their chest and demanding people, you know, That's old school construction. Nowadays, you've got to be, right, good leaders serve their people. They don't order the people around. You've got to be, got to communicate, got to be real with your people, got to be on their level, not above them. You've got to, you know, say, good job, John, good job, Susan, good job, Benny, or whatever. You know, actually give people praise and a, you know, tap around the back to say, well done. You've got to build good culture. You only build good culture by treating people well. If you are under-resourced, which is understandable, then you've got to reach out and extend an olive branch. You know, if you can maybe give someone a 20K bonus for delivering a job, like, in my opinion, they're going to work harder for you. They're going to be more motivated. They're going to have more ambition inside them to feel like they're actually, you know, I am doing two people's jobs, but I'm getting a 20K bonus. You know, like that 20K can mean a lot to them, a lot to their family. You know, if they're able to go home to their partner and say, listen, I know I'm doing two people's jobs a minute, I know I'm working more hours, but I am going to get a 20K bonus. We're going to get on a wicked holiday if I get that bonus or when I get that bonus. You know, so like these things make a big difference. And 20K is a lot better than 100K, you know, because it is. That's probably the reality of it. It's going to cost a lot of money to bring these people in, to get them trained up, time, money, all of that, you know, it equals pressure on a business, and it's no good. So you've got to think about things in the new world, and that, you know, we're not dealing with people like they were in the 70s and 80s. You know, this is, you know, 2022. We're all engaged. You know, we all know what everyone else is doing nearly 100% of the time, whether that's through social media. You know, if you're a PM right now, you can click on Instagram and see what your other PM mates up to, you know, in a different business, and you can see what their company's like so quickly. It's not like 10, 15 years ago where you were always, it was just what you heard at the pub. You know, it's just what you heard from, you know, subbies on site. It's different now. You see everything that's going on all the time. So you've got to look after people. You've got to think you've got to think in the new school. You've got to get rid of your ego. You got to actually look after people, have plan, have strategy, think big picture. Don't just think for the next few months, think for the next few years. And I think that at least will help you retain staff. It will definitely help you retain staff. So thank you so much for listening. If you've got any questions for the future, reach out. If you've got, you know, if you like this episode, share it with your mates. That helps me massively. The more people I see listening to this, the more content that I put out, the more guests that I'm going to get in when we start interviewing people again. So hope you enjoyed this episode of Takeoff. Have a cracking week, folks. And peace.